Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk. Okay, today is Thursday, July 29th, 2021, and we have a few things going on today. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Facebook's earnings report that came in after the close yesterday, the gross domestic product report that came out earlier, Robinhood's IPO, and also looks like Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over Black Widow. So we'll talk about that a little bit also. Okay, so first of all, Facebook. As I said on the last session, we're in the middle of earnings season right now. Lots of companies reporting their earnings, a lot this week in particular. And we have the big five technology stocks reporting this week. So Facebook came in last night after the close. One thing about that, you know, I've been doing this, as I mentioned the last time, since 1975. Back in the day, companies used to just release their earnings in the middle of a trading day. There was no particular pattern to it. But nowadays, not really. Most of them, you know, give definitive times and dates. They're going to release them. And most choose now to release before the market opens or after the market closes. And again, stock markets open Monday through Friday from 9:30 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. Okay, so Facebook reported blockbuster numbers. I mean, just way up across the board, sales, profits, you name it, and the stock is down 4.5% at the moment today. Well, I mentioned yesterday, stocks do not especially price on current news. They price on future expectations of performance. And Facebook did give some caution as to the next two quarters of the year, third and fourth quarter. They do expect to still grow sales numbers, profits, and so forth, but at a much slower pace. Facebook had really spectacular growth over the last year, partly with people being home, spending more time on the internet, social media. They've also expanded worldwide and are continuing to do so. But they did announce expecting some slowing growth, particularly compared to last year's big numbers. And they also said they are going to feel some impact from Apple's recent moves regarding privacy through their iOS operating system. Basically, what Facebook and other apps have done is they're able to track what you look at through their apps. And a lot of people access Facebook through their mobile phones. So what they do is then they can direct that towards advertisers to send advertising specifically tailored to you. Well, Apple has put some new privacy restraints in place that are going to make that much more difficult. So it looks like Facebook is learning to live with that. But Mark Zuckerberg and some of the other executives expect some slower growth. All right, so here's the thing. You know, I said this on the last session. Facebook is still doing well. It's not that they're not going to grow, just at a slower pace. My experience over the years, again, I've been doing this since 1975, is investors tend to overreact short term, and then long term, the markets more reflect underlying fundamentals. So basically, what I find with these companies like this that are growing, these sell-offs tend to be rather temporary, and the stocks bounce back fairly quickly and continue to move on. So that's what's going on with Facebook. Okay, gross domestic product. Gross domestic product is a measure of all products and services produced within a country within a year. Now, in the United States, and we look at this report quarterly. There's a monthly report we can't look at sometimes, but usually a quarterly one. All right, so here's the thing. GDP, as it is called, generally, when we have good growth, we look at gross domestic product growth of about 2.5 to 3.5% per year. Now, this is known as the real number, R-E-A-L. What that means is excludes inflation. So an example, if you had an economy that grew 3% in a year, but inflation was 8%, which is very high, but then you'd show 11%. gross domestic product. When you back that out, the real number is 3%. So what we're looking at is the real number. Okay. Well, the estimate, this report came out this morning. It's released by the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The website is BEA.gov. Okay, I saw a consensus that the number for the second quarter of the year, April, May, June, would be 8.5%. All right, there's a lot of cautionaries in that. First of all, that was an educated guess. The U.S. economy is undergoing its biggest reopening in its history, you know, after COVID, although obviously we got some recent difficulties starting to show up there. But you got to be careful with these consensus numbers because they tend to be just an average. Well, how far apart are these numbers? An example, if you had a number, I'll just say 5. If you had 3 estimates, 5, 5, 5, okay, well, that's an average estimate of 5. If the numbers were 1, 5, and 9, you average them out, you come to 5 again. So, you know, I'd want to know what the variance was. But here's the thing. Economists, those coming up with these numbers, it was just their best guess at it. And it turns out the number came in at 6.5%. Market shrugged it off. Why? They knew it was kind of an educated guess in the first place. But here's a lesson for you on these economic numbers the U.S. government releases. A lot of them come from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, BEA.gov, and others come from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS.gov, as well as CBO.gov, Congressional Budget Office. Okay. Whenever these numbers come out, labor reports, unemployment reports, GDP reports, whatever, they always have the word preliminary in front of it, and that is a big, big factor. The United States economy is so big and so complex that these economists and other statisticians that come up with these numbers, they're just getting their first guess at this. Those numbers are constantly being revised and sometimes revised greatly. It takes these government agencies actually 5 years to sign off on the final numbers. They're constantly being revised. They're just signing off on the July 2016 numbers now. So the markets know that these numbers are up for revision, reinterpretation, lots of things. So markets kind of shrugged that off. So we'll see what's happening going forward. But the U.S. economy is growing. There are some indications our economy is already bigger than it was before COVID. So again, those numbers could be up for revision. Okay, so let's move on. Robinhood, the brokerage firm. This is the firm that, you know, a lot of small new investors jumped on during the pandemic shutdown. They were on chat rooms pushing up stocks, on and on and on. Okay. One appeal that Robinhood had was they charged zero commissions. Okay, so how are they making money? Well, first of all, commissions. You know, when I started in the industry, do you know the commissions were like $250 a trade? Stockbrokers worked on commission back in the day, retail brokers. I was always on the trading side. And they just had big, wealthy clients. And so in a typical day, a stockbroker, if they could get their clients, say, to sell 100 shares of General Motors stock and buy 100 shares of General Electric stock or whatever, that was $500 in commissions, $250 on each trade. And the brokers got around 60% of that. They made $300. And the idea is over time, they'd build a big book of clients. They'd call and get multiple clients to do that. But that's how it worked back in the day. And back in the day, the brokerage firms had their own traders standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and then eventually through NASDAQ. NASDAQ's been around since 1971. It's an electronic trading system between brokerage firms. Before that, we had what was called the over-the-counter market, OTC. Stocks that were not big enough to trade on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, or what we had at the time, the smaller American Stock Exchange, or Amex. You would go into a brokerage office, go up to the counter, look at a clipboard of these other stocks, see a relatively recent price, and if you wanted to buy or sell it, you tell the person at the counter, over the counter, they'd call it to the back, and the brokerage firm would start calling around to other firms to get the best price. In 1971, these brokerage firms figured out how to link their computers together. They called it the National Association of Security Dealers Automatic Quotation System, NASDAQ. All right. Well, anyway, then what happened in the early 80s, we had the discount brokers. They came in with very low, relatively low commissions. They were like $60, $70, $80. And then they've come down over the years. Okay. So how do you make money doing trades if you charge zero commission like Robinhood and some other firms? Well, believe me, nobody in the financial industry is doing this for free. They're all making money somehow. What Robinhood is doing, they are being paid for order flow to counterparty clearinghouses. What the heck does that mean? Okay. What happens, you have firms that either have people on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, or they have what are known as NASDAQ market makers, or they are wholesalers. What that means is they buy stocks and hold it. Think of it like a digital warehouse. What they do is they pay Robinhood to send orders to them, and then they fill the orders. So how do they make money? Well, another day I'll go over how to read stock prices. But with stocks, we have two prices, a bid price and an asking price. Basically, if you want to sell your stock, how much could you get for it from these market makers, traders, and so forth, wholesalers? And then if you want to buy it, it's a slightly higher price. Like I'll use an example of Disney. Right now for Disney, I'm seeing a bid of $179.10 a share. An asking price of $179.13. Now, what that means, if you wanted to sell Disney stock right now, the best you'd get on the market would be $179.10. If you wanted to buy it, you have to pay 3 cents more, $179.13. So that 3-penny difference is the spread, and that's how these wholesalers are making their money, as well as the market makers. It's only 3 pennies, but you know Disney's also traded close to 5 million shares today. It starts to add up. In my day, we priced in eighths of a dollar, so that was the minimum spread. But today, dollars and cents. So that's one way they're doing it. They're also, if they run their inventories correctly, they'll buy at a lower price, sell to investors at a higher price. They can do things like option contracts. I'll talk about options as we go in future sessions. What they can do is buy what are known as put contracts, protect them on the downside, sell what are called covered calls to make money on the upside. There's different things they do, but that's basically how Robinhood is making its money. Now, a criticism of order flow, it is not illegal, but the Securities and Exchange Commission is looking at this. The concern is, are companies simply sending orders to whoever, whatever clearinghouse, counterparty clearinghouse, will pay them the most for order flow? Or are they sending it to the firms that can get the best price? So some concern on that. All right. So that's primarily how Robinhood makes its money. They also do make money from what are known as margin loans, lending people money to buy stock. And they do have a few other ways they make money. All right, so Robinhood, however, they have done today what's called an initial public offering, IPO. What that means is when companies need cash to expand, they've gone to private investors, but they need more. They offer ownership shares of their company to the general public, a public offering. The stock will now trade on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange or, in Robinhood's case, NASDAQ under the symbol HOOD. What they do when you first do it, it's called an initial public offering. It's a very complex, very expensive process. It's usually done by Wall Street brokerage firms called investment banks, which are different than commercial banks like, you know, JP Morgan Chase and so forth. It costs tens of millions of dollars to go public. You got to do all the paperwork with the federal government. Each of the 50 states has its own paperwork. I remember back in my day, Tennessee, for some reason, the paperwork was floor to ceiling like three times. I don't know if it's still that way. But anyway, here's the thing though. Once you go public, you have to release your financial numbers to everybody every 3 months, your earnings reports. It means your competition can look at it, and you're now heavily regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So there's been some questions as to how Robinhood is doing things internally, how they're making money in other ways. So that's all going to be wide open now to the SEC and everybody else. So we'll see what happens. All right, so here's what happened. Robinhood, first of all, they went public today. It was highly looked at. Another day, I'll talk about why Robinhood was restricting a lot of trades a few months back on GameStop and others to 1 and 2 shares. It had to do with settlement and capitalization to these counterparty clearinghouses, but I'll talk about that another day. Okay, Robinhood went public today, $38 a share. Okay, $38 a share. Now, it didn't start trading early on. The rules basically say whatever day you go public, you just have to trade sometime during the trading day. And I've seen stocks not start to trade till 3:58, 3:59 in the afternoon. Just get them out there for a minute or so, especially if there's expected volatility. Okay, but Robinhood did start trading midday today. Right now, it's about 3 o'clock. It's sitting at came out at 38, sitting at $36.30 a share, down $1.73. Okay, that underwriter actually did a pretty good job about pricing that at 38 because the market is not moving it too much from there. An issue sometimes is if they brought it out at 38 and it shot up to 100, well, then the problem Robinhood has, we could have gotten that initial money goes to the company. It's like a real estate agent telling you your house is worth $300,000. You sell it for that and somebody flips it for $1 million. Well, they obviously mispriced it. But Robinhood, yeah, it seems to be about where it is. It was down a little bit earlier today. It hit $33.35. Looks like it's been up to $40 today, $40.22. So it is moving around some. So keep an eye on it for the next few days. Let's see what happens. But that's what's going on there with Robinhood. By the way, companies pick their own stock symbols. New York Stock Exchange, generally 1, 2, or 3 letters. NASDAQ, 4 letters, sometimes 5. Most companies pick a trading symbol. It's just letters of the alphabet, not numbers, that reflect the name of the company, like Hood in this case. Others, some other aspect. Harley Davidson Motorcycle uses HOG, H-O-G, because Harley's considered big hogs, their nickname. Southwest Airlines uses L-U-V. They want everybody to love them. Steinway Piano used to be a publicly traded stock. They used LVB for Ludwig von Beethoven. So and there are other reasons. All right, the last thing today, I tried to keep these sessions relatively short. Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over Black Widow. You know, I didn't hear that any kind of arrangements had been made, although that might not especially been made public, but here it is. I suspect that this was going to happen when I heard about movies being released on streaming rather than just theaters. I was involved years ago with the funding for several big movies, Academy Award-winning projects. I'll tell you more about that another time. I always had a little peon part in it, but I was part of it. All right. When you have these big actors, you know, I use that name for actor, male and female. All right, some of them can command tens of millions of dollars for a movie. Well, sometimes a deal they take is rather than get a flat fee up front, regardless how the movie does, they will take a percentage of box office. Take a lot less guaranteed fee and take a percentage of box office. Now, from the actor's standpoint, if the movie's a gigantic hit, they make a lot of money. From the movie company standpoint, they're taking less risk. You know, if the movie doesn't do well, we don't pay them as much. But the other advantage, given a percentage of box office, that actor has a massive incentive to continue to promote this movie when it comes out to make it do well. Well, anyway, Scarlett Johansson suing Disney. Apparently, she had a deal that she got a cut of box office, which was greatly slashed since the movie was also released on Disney Plus for $30. You could have unlimited access to the movie. And I guess her contract isn't giving her access to that. So it's a lawsuit going on right now. We'll see what happens there. Two big issues I did see with streaming, as soon as I heard that some of these big movies would come on streaming services immediately, was this. And the other one, are these movies going to make enough money from streaming to pay for these $200 million budgets for these big blockbusters that the public has come to expect from Marvel, Star Wars, and so forth? Does it financially make sense? It did in the theaters. You know, when movies are bringing in $1 billion in the theater, yeah, we'll spend $200 million to make it, $100 million to market, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see. So we'll see what's going on there. Okay, so that's what I wanted to cover today. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I'll talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See everybody.